Episode 302, How Not to Ruin Your Life.
It's the David Triggs Show. This is the podcast where you can get spiritual power and personal development for everyday life. It's gozo for the whole family, jamba juice for the soul, your daily dose of gozo.
Well, again, everybody, and welcome to your daily edition of the Trig Podcast of Joy. I got my gozo bell right here in my gozo mug. Let's see how today's coffee of the day is tasting. Oh man, that is just amazing. I got my Gozo Gorro, my Gozo Studios here in Gozolandia in Long Beach, California on this beautiful day, Thursday, September 13th. Welcome, my dear friend. By the way, Gozo means joy in Spanish. Coming to you live here Monday through Friday, Monday through Thursday in English, and Fridays tomorrow en Español. So make sure that you tell all of your Spanish-speaking friends to tune in tomorrow and every Friday to hear the daily Trig Podcast of Joy en Español. By the way, I want to encourage you to go to my Facebook page and to my YouTube channel so you can watch my latest videos, and go to davidtrigg.com/membership to sign up for my monthly coaching. But I want to talk to you today about how not to ruin your life. I was having a conversation this week with some parents about pornography in teens, and really even in elementary school children. We're talking about first graders, even preschoolers, kindergarten. And you might think, wow, that's taking it too far, but not from the stories I was hearing. And we got talking about maybe how to bring in a Christian sex therapist or someone who understands and can work with issues of pornography and phone addiction and the rest. And I actually have a friend who I'm contacting, so stay tuned to find out more about this very, very important topic for both parents and their teens, and their little ones, really. But it got us talking about the bigger, maybe, topic of sexuality in the church, especially when it comes to younger people. And I think the consensus was that we need more, not less, training in this topic. You say, yes, me too, right? I think it's obvious to all of us how sexuality, first, it's a gift from God, right? We're not talking about condemning people or somehow suppressing a very beautiful part of our lives, which is our sexuality. Nor are we saying that somehow sexuality is only reserved for us adults, right? Only when we have affairs or when we get a divorce or when it's too late do we talk about this. No. I mean, just remember back on your childhood. When was the first sexual experience, or maybe let's just call it, I don't know, human sexuality experience that you had? It probably wasn't in your 30s or 40s. It probably was maybe even, like I said, in elementary school age or in your teens. For me, I must say it wasn't a sexual experience, but my first maybe contact with my own hormones, let's put it that way, is when I was about 9 years old. And I'll spare you the details, but it definitely was one of those moments where I thought, okay, that's different. And we all have those stories. And if you don't have the guidance, especially when it comes from God and your church, let's put it this way, or your parents, which to me is the same thing, you know, the parents that go to church, then the young person will pick up all kinds of twisted messages from their friends, mostly, yes, from school, as well as from just the general media, and of course from Snapchat or Instagram and all the rest. You can't, well, I won't get into Snapchat and Instagram, but you understand. So now, how do we then help young people to, as I'm calling it, not ruin their lives? And now let me just say up front, I'm not saying that everyone's ruining their lives, okay? So I know there's a big segment of our young people that are walking in, how do I say this, impurity. I don't like that word only because it makes you feel like you have to be perfect, or, you know, there are no mistakes, or somehow sexuality is impure. That's not what I'm saying. But there is a way to guide our young people and their parents, and yes, you and me as adults, in this area of human sexuality. So I want to give you a few tips. First of all, I want to read Genesis chapter 1, where it talks about, let's just call it, the first sexual event. And so After God created the heavens and the earth, as we know in Genesis 1, then it talks about man. It talks about the creation of man and woman, especially in chapter 2. So let me just read this here. It says, then God said, check this out. This is actually Genesis 1:26. Let us, so from the beginning, you're talking about relationships. So God, what we assume is the Holy Trinity, let us, God in three persons, Holy Spirit and Son Jesus, they decide to make man. So from the beginning, I want you to know that you are created by God. All this nonsense about monkeys and chimpanzees and evolution is just nonsense. I cannot put it any other way except that is nonsense. You are created in the image of God. Are there things that we have, quote, evolved from? Yes, of course. Humanity has grown, but not from a monkey or any other animal. You are created by God. And that means that you have His image in you, His impulses, including sexuality. Is God sexual? I mean, I can't say yes to that, but I can say is that He built sexuality into us. And again, I do not consider sexuality sinful. There are, of course, excesses to it, and we see them all too well. But sexuality is a gift from God. Let us make man in our image. Same thing. Where you're created in the image of God. His DNA runs through your blood, through your veins. You are loved by God. You are created intentionally. You were not an accident. You're not a beast. You're not an animal. You're not just you, the sum total of your brain neurons. You are created in the image of Almighty God with His image, which is one of love, grace, and forgiveness and goodness. So now, what did He create man and woman to do? It says here, and let them have dominion. The word dominion there is very, very powerful. It doesn't mean that you're going to abuse the atmosphere or take over the world. It means to have rule. It means that you're going to take something. It means that you're going to prevail, to reign. So in other words, He's calling you a king and a queen. Kings are there to serve humanity. When God says that you have dominion, He's saying that you're going to have a kingdom around you that He's given you, that He has allowed us to have. It says, let them have. So it is God's desire that you build dominion around you, kingdom, rule. This notion of kingdom, that it's not, quote, us, that it's a partnership. Of course it is. But kingdom does not have to mean that you are abusing your subjugates or your servants or the people or your wife or your friends. Of course not. A good king, which is what, again, we're back to the image of God, serves His people, serves with humanity. And so God says, let them have dominion over the fish, over the birds, over livestock, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing. So God created man in His own image. He repeats this here. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. So He created male and female. He created every bird, everything. And then He gave man and woman dominion, kingdom, rule, not abuse, not hate, not machismo, not feminism, but godly servant leadership over His world around Him. And now, after that, it says that He blessed them. So you are blessed by God. Do you know that you are blessed by God? No matter how bad of a person you may feel, you are blessed by Almighty God. And then here's the assignment that you have. Your purpose is this. Verse 28, and God said to them, this is what He's saying to you and to me, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion again over the fish, over all these things, over every living thing. That's what God has commanded you and given you permission and purposed you to do, to have dominion, to bless, to be fruitful, to multiply, fill, subdue, have rulership in a kind and servant-like way. You are supposed to love and serve the people around you. Yes, even that employee that you can't stand. Yes, even your boss that you don't get along with or your teacher. You're supposed to honor others. If you really want to be a man of God, a woman of God, a person who has dominion and blessing over you, if you really want to walk in the image of Christ and not be like the world, you need to serve others. That's your purpose in life, and to have dominion. And we'll talk about dominion here in a second. Now, after that beautiful passage in in Genesis chapter 1, then we go to Genesis chapter 2, and I want to talk to you about this whole idea of sexuality. And so it says here in verse 6, "And a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord," here it is, "formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature." So that's a beautiful picture of this dilemma between earth and spirit. Why do you feel conflicted? Like Paul says, why do I do the things I don't want to do? It's because you are dirt and divinity. That's what's in you. This flesh, it still wants to overeat. I had ice cream last night at 11:30 p.m. I literally woke up with a stain of mint chocolate ice cream on my shirt. My wife's like, nice. I mean, that's not divinity, right? I'm trying to lose weight and work out, and here I am having mint chocolate chip ice cream at 11:30 p.m. Can I say, wow, that's my dirt. That's your dirt. Have you ever done the same thing? Of course. What's your divinity? When you love that person in need, when you pray for your enemies. That's the dilemma. That's how we are. One day, your earth will be revealed and will be restored and will truly be transformed. One day, but not yet. So stop eating so much ice cream. So it says here, he created man of dust, but then he breathed divinity. And then the Lord planted a garden in Eden. Now let's get to the fun part, when he creates woman, right? So he talks about the tree. He talks about don't eat of this one tree, which we'll get into that maybe in some other podcasts. Why did he put that there? It's all about choice. It's really all about love. So then he takes a rib. Here it is. So then it says, so the Lord, well, before that, the man gave names to all the livestock. So as you know, God told Adam, go ahead and now name all the animals. Okay, so he did that. Now it says, the man gave names to all the livestock and the birds and blah, blah, blah. But for Adam... See that? But Adam. But for Adam is huge. It says here, there was not found a helper fit for him. That's a problem. It's not good for man to be alone. He's going to say that here in a second. It is not good for you to be alone. All this stuff about Catholic priests and their sexuality and how, you know, they then, not everyone, of course, but some of these priests, they do horrible things with young boys. And let me be an equal partner here. I mean, pastors do the same thing. You and I. I mean, we may not do extreme things, but this is a problem when you keep humanity from their own sexuality. It is an issue. Now, I believe, even scripturally, that there are men and women who are gifted in celibacy, that are gifted in self-restraint when it comes to sexuality. And so that is a gift from God that some people have. So anyway, but it says here, it is not good, verse 18, it's not good that man should be alone. That's just a life principle. It's not good for you to be alone. Stop being a loner. Get out there and get to know people and do it in a righteous way. I will make him a helper fit for him. So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast, every bird, and brought them to man. Poor Adam. He's like, I don't want to hang out with no rooster. I don't want to hang out with no penguin. I mean, you know, like birds are cute, but I mean, I can't exactly have coffee with that bird, you know? So Adam's like, no, God, no thanks. I'm not into spiders. And so God brought all these birds and blah, blah, blah. But Adam's like, okay, that's not for me. So the Lord God, because he's good, he's compassionate, he knows your needs. Verse 21, he caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And I'm laughing because we've been sleeping ever since as men, right? It's called Monday Night Football. He caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib the Lord God had taken from the man, he made it into a woman. Woman means that came from man. That's what the word woman means. It means from the man. It means female. It means the opposite of man. It means that it's not the same thing. So all this stuff about that we're all the same, or that we're asexual, that we are beyond sexual, we can choose your sexuality. That is craziness. God created man and he created woman. We're supposed to be opposites, biologically, physically, mentally. That's a gift from God, not a curse, to be different. It's a gift from God. We aren't supposed to all be the same, and men to be women and women to be men. That's not of God. What is of God is that you be the opposite, and yet you complement each other. That's the way of the universe. Yin and yang, black and white, righteous and unrighteous. We are supposed to be opposites, and yet in that tension there is beauty. And that's the way of the kingdom of God. It is not good for men to be alone, blah, blah, blah. The Lord caused a deep sleep. And then after this whole rib thing, then verse 23, then the man said, this at last. I love that word is. He had been waiting, guys. If you are a young person and you're not married and you're struggling with pornography, masturbation, because you see these hot girls or these cute people, or you see someone that is so kind to you and you have to wait, guess what? That's a gift from God. God doesn't want to punish you. He's not trying to keep happiness away from you. God is trying to find the perfect person for you as a young lady, as a young man. It says here, God, it says, caused deep sleep. The rib that the Lord taken, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Isn't that beautiful? God will bring the right person into your life. And this is my experience. When I try to bring the right person into my life, it was chaos. But when I let God bring the right woman into my life, I was, and I still am, in awe of God's beauty. And her name is Rochelle, my lovely wife of 23 years. Let God bring the woman, the right woman, into your life. Stop going out there and hunting and overreaching and being inappropriate with young girls or young women in your life, or older women in your life for that matter. Flee, it says, from your youthful lusts. And that goes for all of us, old guys like me or young people. Flee and wait on the Lord. It says right there that he brought her to him. Then the man said, at last, this is bone of my bones. All that means he was in love. He fell in love with Eve. I could tell you so many stories of how I have fallen in love with my wife so many times. I literally fell in love with her last night. Just seeing her, just talking to her, and just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. It says, it's what Adam said, this is last. At last, bone of my bones. When you see the woman of your dreams, you will know it. Then it says here, this is at last, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Adam was just in awe. And then here's something very, very important. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave or hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one. You know, culturally for us Latinos, and I'm guilty of this, we want to be with our parents till we're 90. Sometimes that's financial, sometimes because we want to help our parents, sometimes it's because we're afraid to fly and to leave the nest. You know, there's a lot of, what do they call it, living under your mom's skirt, I think is what we say in Spanish. It's not biblical. You know, I don't care how much cultural stuff you hear or how you grew up or how your mom and your dad raised you. The Bible is clear. Financially speaking, it's clear. Biologically speaking, how are you going to have kids with your mom next door to you? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, come on. How are you going to raise? Now, the American culture or the West goes to the other extreme, where they throw you out of the house at 18 and you're like, okay, now what do I do? I'm going to be homeless for the next 20 years. Who's going to want to hang out with me, right? So it's about being biblically minded. In due time, you have to leave, young man, to build your own dominion, to go back to what God told Adam. Go multiply, go be fruitful, go build your own life, career, your own thing. Young lady, it's time at some point for you to join God's effort in your life and to build your kingdom and your dominion. And it's hard to do that when you have mom and dad looking over your homework every day. Now, as I said, financial reasons, and my mom needs help, and they're undocumented, or they don't have, you know, they don't have health insurance, and I have to help. I help my mom to this day. My grandma helped her kids till she was 80. So I understand African-American culture, Latino culture, Asian culture. We are the lovers, right? We love our parents, and that is biblical. I don't think it's any more biblical or less to leave and to forget your parents. Of course, that's not good, and to die alone if you're an older person. But somewhere in the middle there, you have to have that inner independence and that inner strength to build your own life. So now let me get to some practical tips here. So, well, actually, let me get to the fun part. It says, he created man and woman. Adam is just in awe. He loves his wife. You're supposed to leave. And then it says, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Why is that in there? Isn't that interesting? Why not just end the story with, and they lived happily ever after? Why all this nakedness stuff and shame stuff? Because that's how we feel about nakedness. And nakedness is something that is taboo. I don't think it's wrong. I don't think that we need to be and live in nudist colonies. Nakedness is, I would say, the shame. It's not nakedness. Shame over your body is a cause of sin. I'm no longer on Instagram, but when I was on Instagram, there's a whole movement about, I don't know exactly the hashtag, but something like accepting your body, basically, and body image, and all the shame that's happening out there. And there are these horrible terms that people use to shame women, especially. But I would say men feel just ashamed by muscles or money or success or how many women do you have or have you slept with? You know, all that is man shaming, just like there is women shaming. And that's what's wrong with what our culture and humanity and sin and Satan has done with human sexuality. Not only has it betrayed it and corrupted it, but it has made it into a shameful part of your life. And that's not what God wants. God wants to free you. God wants to unite you with your wife, with your husband, so that you can multiply. And I don't mean kids, okay? I'm just talking about so you can be fruitful, have a career, have a house, have a job, be able to raise a family, be able to provide for your kids, to be able to be financially secure, to be able to help other people go on vacations and enjoy your life and go get sushi on Friday night. Man, can you say gozo sushi? You're supposed to leave. The man was naked and not ashamed. That, if you want to put something on your bathroom mirror, young man, young lady, it's that verse, okay? Be careful with it. It's a little awkward of a verse, but it's a principle for life. You want to think about sexuality in one phrase? It's verse 25, 2:25. And the man and his wife were both naked and unashamed. Man, that just touches my soul. I won't get into details, but that's what my wife and I have. Nakedness without shame. Wow. That's a whole like year of preaching just on that, isn't it? How do we do that? What does that mean? How do you recover because you are ashamed now? You know, all the rest. You know, I just want to tell you how much God loves sexuality, how much He loves you, how He doesn't want you to ruin your life, young man, how He doesn't want you to ruin your life, young lady, how He doesn't want that for you. And these principles are there for a reason. They're there because God wants to bless you. Now, if you have, I don't know how to say this, messed up your life, and I speak from experience, there is hope for you. If you feel like there is so much pain and shame in your life because of actions and decisions, or maybe someone abused you, someone took advantage of your virginity, of your purity, of mind, body, and soul, there is hope for you in Christ. I also recommend that you talk to people. Mom and dad are obviously great, but maybe go the extra mile. Talk to a therapist. Talk to a spiritual leader. Talk to someone who you can trust and ask them, how can I heal from the brokenness of my human sexuality? Come out of the hiding, young man. And don't just simply be honest for honesty's sake. Be willing to change get into a program, go through the steps, go online, figure out what are the ways. If you're maybe addicted to sexuality, pornography, maybe you're addicted to love, you're addicted to human touch, you're addicted to compliments. How can you find your footing in Christ and let Him bring the right person into your life? My prayer for you today is that you will know that God loves you, that He created you in His image, that you are His child, that He will bring the right people into your life in due season. I want to thank you for being here. Please make sure that you share this episode with everyone in your circle of friends. Text everybody, davidtrigg.com. I think this is what, 302? Let everybody know. Also, make sure that you go to davidtrigg.com/membership so that you can be a part of my monthly coaching program, which is amazing. It's a very low fee every month that you pay to be personally coached by me in person, text, phone, video, Skype, whatever works for you. I can't wait to do that. Thank you again. I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.